Awesome.
Hey, Donnie.
Yeah.
Bruce wants to come next week. I'm gonna bring him.
Bruce Rainey?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Bring him along.
I was talking to him yesterday. You know, Sue almost died, and she was in
Really?
the hospital. And I'm going to tell you the story because, you know, I just ministered to him last night and talking to him, and he was talking about when Sue was in the hospital and she was having congestive heart failure and she was about ready to die, and they didn't, doctor said, didn't know what was going to go on. He said that a nurse came into his room, you know, from Jamaica or someplace like that, and says that you just, you know, and she says, "Well, how are you doing?" He says, "I am scared." And I mean, he had tears in his eyes, and she looked at him and she says, "You don't need to be scared. All you need to do is just believe God." And then she left the room, you know, and then he prayed to God to go ahead and for her to be healed, and she did. But as I was talking to that conversation, I realized that I thought about Dr. Werewolf when he was taking, I forget who the other person was in the car, and then an angel picked him. He picked up an angel to keep him in the bed until he could get him to the hospital. And God just showed me that woman that came in to the hospital as Jamaican was actually an angel. And I shared that with Bruce. And I mean, he just broke down and cried. You know, it was just like, he was just saying how much God has, you know, 'cause he was sitting there and he says, "God, if there's anything, you know, I mean, I've studied you for years and years and years, and, you know, and you know, but it, I need your power and I need it now. You know, I need you to show me something." And she got healed. So we had a great conversation. You know, we talked about a lot of different things, and he wants to come. He wants to come to fellowship next weekend. So I'm going to take
Wonderful.
him. I'm going to bring
Great.
him.
Yeah, bring him along. Absolutely. That's wonderful.
That
Great.
was Howard Allen that was in the car with in the RV or whatever it was with Dr. Worwell that the angel took care of.
Oh, okay. Great, Steve. Thanks. Great.
He shared
Yeah.
one time. I can't remember where he shared it, whether it was at a dance class or whether it was just, at the festival or wherever it was. But I remember that conversation, you know, the whole thing, you know, and I haven't thought about it for years and years and years until he mentioned that. And it was just like, boom, that's what that was. That was an angel, you know.
Angels do show up from time to time. No question about that. Sometimes we know who they are, sometimes we don't.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not often you're going to have a nurse walk in and say, "Just believe God." Yeah, I'm not trying to put down nurses, but they're often looking at the science.
Well, my next question was, did you ever see her again? He says, "No, I never saw her again in the hospital. I never saw her anywhere in the hospital. Never met her again." You know, and I was like,
Yeah.
Yeah. I have an angel testimony from years ago, too. I think I've shared it with you guys before. My mailman angel that helped me put out a fire so our house didn't burn to the ground that we were renting as wows. But yeah, I have no problem in knowing that angels are working. That's for
I
sure.
remember that, Donnie. It was in the garage.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, I started a fire in the garage. Accidentally, of course, but. And that day, there just happened to be a mailman walking by at that moment. And just a different mailman walking, and they never really walked. They in that neighborhood they drove, but this one was walking. And he just casually looked at me and said, "You know, there's a hose over there. You can probably it'll reach your next door neighbor." And then he just kept walking, just left. Didn't help me at all. Just left, you know. So I was able to put the fire out with the neighbor's hose. So yeah. Never saw that guy again. So, yeah, I believe they're there. They're working. But, you know, I mean, that's what the word says, too. It's they're there for those that will be heirs of salvation. You know, those that will at some point believe God, and they're there to take care of them, protect them, because God knows who's his and who will believe. So it's a wonderful blessing to know that, you know. So
yeah. Isn't there a verse of scripture that talks about to be kind to everyone? Because I'm trying to think.
You might entertain angels unawares.
Yeah, something about
angels in underwears.
Dave, you're so funny. Good morning, yeah,
that
everyone.
That was Kurt.
Oh, it was Kurt, yeah, about was underwear?
Yes.
Good morning, Patty.
Yeah, hi. The one that mentioned that to me was Victoria. Mentioned that to me.
Great.
I see Ashley and Lorian.
Yeah, Lorian's on with us.
Good morning, everyone.
And Justin, the Zoom user.
Okay.
All right.
All righty.
Okay. Well, why don't we have some prayer and hear what God's been doing. Of course, we've already heard a great testimony, so that's wonderful. So I'll begin, and then whoever would like to pray, you just go right ahead. All right. So, Father, thank you for your love and grace. Thank you for the way you continue to show us your mercy day by day, that you continue to be there for us and continue to uphold your promises to us. Thank you, Father, for the power that you have working in our lives continually, that you continue to show us who you are and who you have made us. Thank you, Father, for continuing to encourage us and direct our steps and show us the things that you have prepared for us so that we can be at peace in this crazy, crazy place called the world. Thank you, Father, for your Son, Jesus Christ, and all that he accomplished for us and all that he has brought us into by bringing us as your sons into your presence. Thank you, Father, for every person here and for their hearts and Father, for the needs that they have, for continuing to supply those needs. Thank you, Father, for every request that each of us has made to you, that you honor that request as we recognize and know in the depth of our hearts that with you nothing is impossible. So thank you, Father, for continuing to work mightily in all of our lives, continuing to fulfill your promises for us, and continue to open doors for us to show others who you are and who your Son, Jesus Christ, is. Not just by words, Father, but by those signs, miracles, and wonders that will follow us as we look to you and believe. Thanks for these things and for a great time together of inspiration and encouragement in that wonderful and powerful name of Jesus Christ. Anyone else like to pray?
God, thank you for today. Thank you for taking care of Donnie, Patty, and blessing their hearts tremendously, for opening up their home and their hearts for fellowship. Thank you for taking care of their family and blessing them. Thank you, God, for continuing to heal Cindy and that she gets better every day. In the name of Jesus Christ.
And I thank you, God, for my family. I thank you for my brother, for you healing his heart and making it flow again correctly, and for rejuvenating his kidneys so he can be healthy and he can be around for a long time. And I thank you for my niece, Sarah. I thank you for her operation that she had Thursday. And I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ that you just heal her and you take the pain away from her, and that she becomes healthy, and this is the last surgery she'll have for that cancer, and it'll be gone forever. I thank you for that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
right. Amen then. Wonderful. Okay. Well, hey, Kevin. Oh, you just muted yourself.
I died and muted it right back.
Yeah, there you go. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, bless you. Sitting out on our back porch, my back porch.
Looks like a nice day for you, huh?
It is. Yeah, I'll show you a little bit of it.
Oh, Oh, there you go. Wow, nice. I like it. Can I come?
That's the fence I'm putting up. Not quite finished.
Do you have extra rocking chairs?
Yeah, we have these two porch rocking chairs, yeah. So
oh, okay.
You'll see the house move behind me.
That's good. Well, great you could join us.
Thank you.
All right. Well, Tim has already shared a great testimony. Anyone else have a testimony? What God's been doing for you?
So in Isaiah chapter 31, verse 1, it says, "Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots, because there are many, and in horsemen, because they are very strong, but they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord." So God's not saying don't trust the horses and chariots and the strong men. He's saying don't trust them exclusively. All around me, I got these horses and strong men and chariots and everything. I don't need God. That's exactly what tends to happen. Just like when you're on antibiotics, you feel better after the first few days, so you stop. That's kind of silly. And you're trusting God, and all of a sudden you have all these strong things around you. I don't need God. No. That's when you need God the most.
Great. Thanks, Steve. Yep. Great thing to remember. Don't stop trusting God just because you got a couple of strong arms next to you. All right. Great.
Let me throw this out here, Denny. We were talking about this. It helps sometimes to have a searchable Bible app on your phone. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares."
Yeah, great verse.
That's one I was trying to think of.
That's why he shared it.
We got her. Good.
Yeah.
I'm just messing with you.
I think we had to replace our water heater this past week because it had, I mentioned it to you, Donnie and Patty, but our water heater went out one night. I got home after playing softball and it's like we got a puddle in the basement, and we've had puddles in the basement before, and they've been different issues, but I'm like, oh, we'll see what's going on. But I traced it back to where it looked like it was coming out of the bottom of the water heater. Water heater's old, so it was time to replace it anyways. God's timing is always wonderful, but it had been just a few days before that, Ann at the shop, she was, thinking about, needing a plumber to put a spigot in to water her, flowers and stuff out front. And, the woman that works with Ann at the shop, Jeannie, she's got a, calls him her nephew. They're not really related, but, she says he's a plumber. And so, that he would come by and take a look at it. But, I was at the time that, I saw that the water heater was going to need to be replaced. I went and I think a Home Depot and Lowe's and was pricing water heaters and decided on one at Home Depot, and they had installation services available. And so I was like, oh, let me try that out, it's going to cost me. They end up calling me back, or somebody end up calling me a few hours later, and they wanted about $1,500, yeah. I keep wanting to say $15,000. about $1,500 to install the water heater. And I was just like, wow, that's pretty pricey. I think I'll just do it myself type of thing. But then at the same time, you know, they were trying to get a hold of this guy, Michael, her Jeannie's nephew, to see if he could do it. And he got back with me a little while after that, and he's like, I'll do it for $225. I was like, oh, okay. That's definitely, you know, because I wanted somebody that, you know, it's going to be an important piece of plumbing. You know, I can do it. I've done some type of stuff with pipes before, but I didn't want to necessarily trust myself to make sure everything was done right. And so talked to him and was able to get him, and he came over the next day. I think it was the next day. Yeah, the next day, and installed it, and went great. He's definitely a Christian, and you know, he was telling me that, you know, these other companies will try to really gouge you on the pricing. And he's like, he wants to do people right, you know, and he's, you know, he trusts God and knows that God's going to bless him, you know. Just, it was such a wonderful deal. And it just, like I said, it's just God's timing on things. And would never have known about him had, you know, and not been looking at doing something at the shop. And, you know, and I actually gave him more than what he asked, because I was so blessed with, you know, the difference in pricing. So, and then, you know, of course he was grateful for that, but, I don't know, just one of those wonderful things that comes along, and something else, you know, has happened to make it work out. So.
Great. That's great. Thanks, Matt. Yep. I love the fact that you gave him more than what he asked for. That's who you are, Matt.
Yeah.
So, well, and that's a blessing. It's a wonderful example. So.
Yeah, he saved us a bunch of money, and sure. You know, I just thought $225 seemed like it was too little. So
I was. That's great. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Anyone else? Who else got something?
I was. Think about what Beta shared last week. Is she on?
No, she's not. She's not on this morning.
Yeah, she's got something to the point of, you know, having her speech, you know, that break. And as she was speaking about that, I thought of a band that was pretty big in Germany, maybe around the world, back in the 70s and 80s, called Boney M. And they had a song called By the Rivers of Babylon. And then it was, I don't know how much time later, that I found out that the lyrics that they had for that song came directly from Psalms. I believe it was Psalms, either in the 90s there, or I don't think it was Proverbs. I'm pretty sure it was Psalms. And so by the rivers of Babylon, and then the verse goes something to the point of, but the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable in thy sight.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what the rest of, I could have looked it up, but I didn't. Okay. But it was just a thought. What she said.
Yeah, I just said, Charlie, look it up.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Psalm 19:14.
There you go, Kevin. Yeah.
All right, Kevin. Hi, Kevin.
Hi.
Good. Cool. Yeah, that's a great, great verse.
That's something to consider, you know, in our daily walk. Yeah, that our Lord be seasoned with salt to the edifying of the hearers.
Great, Kurt. Thanks. So that was a German band, right? You said.
I don't know if they were German or England or American. They were Boney M, and they were a really cool band. They did a lot of kind of disco-ish songs.
Okay.
But that was one of them, and I found it was interesting that a secular, I don't even know if they were secular or not, but just a music band that's up there in the top charts is using words from the Word, you know?
Yeah.
And I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, I think every once in a while the world lets that stuff slip through. Right? So.
Ashton Young had a song like that also. That was directly from Psalms. It was the whole thing from Psalms.
Cool.
Great.
I think the best known song in that category was the tune that the Birds did, Turn, Turn, Turn. The lyrics were pulled directly from Ecclesiastes. I forget the chapter, but.
Right. Yeah.
Almost verbatim, actually.
Yeah. There's a season.
To every season.
To every season. Yeah, we all remember those things, don't we? Those old tunes. Anything else, anybody?
Oh, yeah. Thank you for your prayers about that job. I got a little email from her on, I believe, my job coach on Thursday, saying that she made a slight mistake, which I kind of imagine, because the company is the U-Bahn, which is the underground rail and bus system, one of the biggest rail systems in Germany for a city. About over 80,000 employees, and the job was kind of like reception. But I knew that, I knew a person that worked with that company, and they hire security only from within. So as she mentioned this job was available, I thought, you know, I bet it's only from within. But she said she had a contact with the company. So anyway, she said, yeah, she overstepped. They only hire that position from within the company, which, you know, in my old band nature, I might have been worried and, oh, no. But, of course, as we are conquerors, more than conquerors in Christ, number one, I kind of saw that ahead of time. I saw that ball already coming and wasn't sure. But one thing I know is that when one door closes, another door opens. And we all know with God, God will always make a way. Always. No matter, like you were going back to your wonderful letter, Donnie, that we don't just see with our five sense eyes, but we have that spiritual sight. That God has given us that wonderful ability to have that spirit within that new nature. And as we just put that on us on a daily basis. You know, 500 we heard on my left side, 1,000 on my right, but it won't come near me. So, thanks for that. But at the same token, that means that the glass isn't half empty, it's half full. In other words, maybe that wasn't the right thing. And that just gives God the opportunity to do something that may be even much more better than that, which I believe that to be the case. So, still looking forward to wonderful and great things from God.
Great. That's great, Kurt. Yep. God's got something better.
Johnny, yes. Your letter, when Kurt talked, that reminded me of that part in your letter talking about Christ and see through his eyes. And I remembered how we were taught it's his eyes behind our eyes, his hands behind our hands, his heart behind our heart. So, anyways, that was, it's a reality. It may not be in this world that we see it with our five senses, but it's definitely more predominant in our lives than anything else here in the world. And I'm thankful to God that we have that ability that he gave to us, that we can just stand strong and have spiritual eyes in everything and towards everyone.
Great. Thanks, Cheryl. Good. Patty, you got?
Yeah. Yeah, Cheryl, you made me think of now we see through a glass darkly, but then we'll see him face to face. We'll know even as we are known when Christ returns. We can't possibly know everything right now, the whys and the wherefores of certain things. So, yeah, now we see through a glass darkly. Maybe we don't understand every single thing, but we are going to know even as we are known. Right.
Mm-hmm.
What was on my heart today, is in Philippians 3. If you want to go there, if not, just listen. The main verse I want to look at is, verse 10, but I want to get a little, you know, context in there, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Okay, let's go back. In the chapter, Paul is giving his pedigree. You know, he's saying, finally, verse 1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. And I think about what each of those words mean and what we've been taught about them. You know, dogs are backbiters, people who are coming behind you, kind of, it's like a figure of speech, nipping at your heels or just refuting what you said according to God's word or who you are in Christ. Beware of dogs. And then especially those of the concision, you know, the law boys, the legalistic people who always want to put you in a vice grip of legalism and the law and bondage. That's what he's talking about. Verse 3, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. It isn't about physical worship, the lifting of holy hands, if you will, or any other type of physical outward expression. It's about in the heart. You know, we worship God spiritually in the heart. We speak in tongues. We melt God's heart. We open the doors for God to speak to us spiritually, to give us information. It might look like I'm just furiously vacuuming the floor, but I'm speaking in tongues. And I'm opening the floodgates for God to give me information and to teach me something that I asked him about. And I've been doing that very intensely the last few weeks. So we don't have confidence in the flesh. And then he goes on to talk about if anybody could be confident in the flesh, I more, because he had it all. He was perfect in every way, Paul. But he said, and you all know, I just count it dung. It's loss. It's crap to gain or to win or to excel in Christ. He just had to put down his pedigree and he had to look at who God had made him in Christ. Verse 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things, for loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered or endured the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win or excel in Christ and be found in him, in Christ, not having mine own righteousness. Again, it's not about the legalistic crossing the T's and dotting the I's. You know, like I was busting Donnie's chops this morning for misspelling words and not getting my instructions right on the Resurrection Sunday because I'm a detail person. You know, it's like the letter of the law. I thought about it later. I thought about, you know, I remember when I used to read, when I very first read things that Sangit Baines wrote. And it was just filled with typos and wrong grammar. And Kathy, you'll remember this. We sat on the beach and we read it together, but we were looking for something. We were searching for a deeper truth. We wanted to know more about healing and the power of his resurrection. So therefore, it became easy for me to look past, and all of us who knew Sangit and who've been to India or done any of these things having to do with that, that it's not about the letter of the law. It's about to know him, to experientially know him. Let's look at that verse just a little bit and then I'll be done. That I may know him, to experientially know him. We all have, remember the Greek word Dr. Earl taught us, to know him, gnosko, to experientially know him, to know and understand who Christ is and what he did for us, to know him and the power, dunamis, that inherent power we have, the capability that we have within us of his resurrection. You know, what does it mean to each of us? Okay, everybody's going to celebrate Easter. Yahoo and hooray and Easter bunnies and worshiping the goddess of Ashtaroth and all that. Well, you know, when we had little kids, we gave them Easter bunnies and candy and stuff too and did the egg hunts. But, you know, we all knew the truth about that and we taught our kids that, you know, it isn't about that pagan ceremony that coincides incidentally with the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's about the power of his resurrection to know, experientially to know what that means. And the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. I had fun this morning pulling out my favorite little research books. Don't ask me what they are. You know, I like to touch books. I like to do that. Anyway, and that the word being made conformable was really interesting. It was this really big, long Greek word, and it basically means together morphing. I thought it was sum something or other with metamorphosis in there. And it was like, okay, when he died, we died with him. When he was buried, we were buried with him. When he got up, we got up with him. When he was seated, we were seated with him. And where are we now? We're seated in the heavenlies by the work of God's dear son, not by our work, but by his accomplished work. So that fellowship, that koinoneo, that sharing fully of that whole experience, we got to see ourselves there. We see ourselves having gone through all that with him and then seated with him at the right hand of God with the power that he has and that we have by knowing him and the power of his resurrection. But we activate that dunamis, that power. We make it kinetic energy. We make it happen when we believe and we trust God that it's going to happen. And, you know, it's like the old analogy. You got the car, you got the battery and all that. But if you don't turn the key and ignite the ignition and make the thing run, it's not going to run, right? And all that power with just that one little turn of a key can be activated. What is our one little turn of the key? We speak in tongues. We expect God, just like Donnie's letter this morning. We expect God to do what he said he's going to do. You know, sometimes we hit it, sometimes we don't. Sometimes our own flesh gets in our own way. Hello? Happy 70th year? But these are things that we pray the promise, not the problem. We look at where we're seated in God's mind's eye, not the physical carnal reality of things. It's as if we're already there in God's heart, like I shared last week about harpazo, how we're snatched out of here like that perfect ripe piece of fruit, and we are handpicked and rescued out from among the exercise power of darkness and seated at the right hand of God. We have to see that, and we have to know God's word to be able to identify what a counterfeit might be to that. You know, we trust God with all our hearts and souls and minds. And we've all seen incredible testimonies and healings and miracles and all of that. All of us have. We've all experienced them. But what we need to experience even more, and we should think about even more now that it's Easter Bunny time, is to know him and the power of his resurrection and that fellowship and what that means. Our perfect identification in him. Donnie had taught this, I don't know, one of his resurrection weekends. And it really resonated. I wrote it down here in my margin. And it says, or we make our identification a true reality. That we really walk. It's a true reality for us. We make that happen by reason of our believing this. Verse 11, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not that I've already arrived, I'm not already perfect, fully initiated, but in my mind and my heart and in my confession out of my mouth, that's where I'm seated. That's where I live. No matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, God's word is true. And we believe this, all of us do. And these are dark days we live in. And Christ is going to snatch us out of here in the air one day very soon, right? But to know him in the power of his resurrection and to be conformable to what he accomplished for us, to really truly think about it in the head and let it resonate down into the heart of hearts where faith and real true believing comes from. That's another thing, and that is a choice, always. And anyway, that's what was on my heart today.
All right, that's great. Yeah, that's a great section of Scripture relating to what we have in Christ and what he did for us and our identification with him, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's, you know, what he went through was for us. He did it on our behalf. You know, we're coming up to that time of year when, you know, people remember, okay, this is the time of year that Jesus Christ, you know, gave his life, that he did what he did for each one of us and for all, you know, like he said, you know, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He loved the world, not just Israel. He wasn't just providing for Israel. He was providing salvation and a savior, redemption for the world, because all the world comes from the same place. It all has its origins in the same place, you know, in that garden. And eventually, you know, from there is where all of us stem from. And so God wanted to fulfill his promise, not just for Israel, but for the whole world. And we are benefactors of that. We're the ones who benefit from it because we have come to it and believed it. We have looked past what we have seen with our senses and recognized that there's something else there that we can't see. There's something else there that is more real than what we perceive with our senses. Because what we perceive with our senses is temporal. It's temporary. It will pass. But what we see and can see are, you know, have been enabled to see with our spiritual eyes is that which is eternal. That which is eternal. When I look in the mirror, I don't see that which is eternal. I see that which is temporal, which is corruptible. But when I look past that vision in the mirror and see with my spiritual eyes, I see that which is eternal. I see that which is Christ, which is eternal life. That's what we each have. And that's what we have to develop the habit of looking at. That which we cannot see. That which is what we can't seem to touch or smell or taste or hear sometimes. We have to continue to develop that habit of using that spiritual enablement that we have within us and recognizing what it really and truly is. Not what it may sound like. When I speak in tongues, what does it sound like? Sounds like some weird language. Sounds like sometimes nonsense. Sometimes it just doesn't sound like a language at all. And yet, it is. It's a language known of men or known of angels. And it is certainly known of God. It is understood by God. Every word we speak in that language that is unknown to us is a word that is perfectly expressing what we need or what we desire from that Christ within us to the ear of our Father in heaven. That's the reality of it. That's what is more real than those words that I hear. Because it's more powerful. Those words may sound like they're powerless. They may just sound like nothing to me. And yet they are backed with the power that is resident within each of us. You know, we have that choice to make. Like Patty just mentioned, we have that choice. You know, we were made conformable unto his death. We were made in the same form as him going through his death. We were there with it, with the whole experience. We went through it all with him. Didn't feel it like he felt it. And yet the scripture says he did it for us. When he died, we died. When he gave up the ghost, when he gave his last breath and said, it is finished, we were in that experience. When they put the linen on him and put him in the tomb and sealed him in there, we were sealed in there with him. And when the angels came and rolled away the stone that morning and said, come on out, baby. Come on out. And he came forth alive and new. That was you and me also. Now, we can't see that with our physical eyes, nor can we understand it with our physical brain. We need that spirit that God has given to us to really fully comprehend and understand it. And God has enabled us to do that. We can see really, truly who God has made us in Christ. If we will but focus on that. You know, when Christ was doing his thing, you know, I love this time of year because it always brings me back to those sections in the gospel that show our Lord and Savior as that man among men. I mean, that irreplaceable, unmatchable man that dealt with every situation the adversary threw at him with such great wisdom, such great knowledge, such great revelation because he walked with the Father. And there's this one section that it's not during his last week, but it is certainly indicative of those things that he said and did in his last week. But it's in Luke 11. It's indicative of who he was that they could not see. Oh, some believed in him because of the works that he did. And Peter, even Peter eventually, in all of his doubt and all of his habit of walking by the senses, was able to see that he indeed was the Christ, the Son of the living God. You here in Luke 11, this is a great section. I love this section. You know, he says there's this one woman comes, you know, after he's been doing all these great things, and woman comes in and says, you know, hey, boy, blessed be the womb that bare thee. This is verse 27 of Luke 11. And the paps that gave you, that you sucked on, that gave you nourishment. And he said, yeah, but more and more, there's blessing. There's the blessing that they that hear the word of God and keep it receive. Right. The blessing that's available to those that hear the word of God and keep it, do it, recognize that it's really truth and that it is power to them that believe it. And then he said to them, when the people were gathered together, he began to say, this is an evil generation that seek a sign. They seek a sign, right? We remember this record. I mean, we've all read this before. An evil generation seeks after a sign. Okay, you know, show me. Show me. Prove it. Prove it to us. Do us something special. And we'll believe you. That in and of itself is evil, because he had shown time and time again the power that God was working in him. But they wanted more. And he said, look, there's no sign be given but the sign of Jonas the prophet. Jonah the prophet, right? 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly. And God had that creature spit him up on the beach and give him breath life again. He wasn't in the belly playing canasta or solitaire. He was dead. And that's the sign that they were going to receive. That was the only one that they would be able to believe. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. Right? The Queen of the South shall rise up in judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the uttermost parts of the world, the utmost parts of the earth, to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. A greater king, a greater one than Solomon. He's a greater king. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Jesus Christ, he's our Lord and Savior. He is a greater king than Solomon. He is a greater prophet than Jonah. He is the greatest. But in order to see who he was at that moment, they had to look past their five senses. They had to look past what they knew about him as being born illegitimate, just a carpenter's son. What does he know? Who is this guy? They had to look past that. And they couldn't seem to do it. And that's, I guess, the pitfall of all people, right? We have this overwhelming receptor called the five senses. And it just seems to overwhelm anything and everything around us. It's just, this is what we go by. So we have to get past our senses and look at the truth of the Spirit of God that is written in the scripture to show us who we really are, to show us who Christ was and is for us now, so that we can live this life, which is more than abundant, that he earned for us. He achieved it for us, if we will but believe him. Right? You know, there's so many times in life that we have seen God's power work, and yet still we have a tendency or a habit to allow our senses to take charge. And that's a habit that we will always seek to break. You know, we break those bad habits. We replace them with good ones, right? We stop ourselves when we find ourselves walking by sight and not by faith. And we bring ourselves back, right? We bring ourselves back to what is true and what is real. You know, my knee's been bothering me. I've been having a fight with my knee for the past 2-3 months. It's all right. It's healed. But it hurts. It's healed. But I hurt it again the other day. Well, then it's just going to have to heal again. When we break those habits of walking by sight and begin to walk by faith, we begin to see great power. That's what our Lord and Savior showed us. You know, he refused to walk by sight. He walked by his confidence and trust in the Father and how the Father was leading and directing him and what the Father was telling him, not what the world around him was telling him. Right? Oh, how'd you do that? How'd you kick that devil out? Oh, you did it by Beelzebub. What? What are you talking about? I did not do it with Beelzebub. If I did it with Beelzebub, his kingdom would be divided. It would fall. What help would that be to him? I'm doing it by the power of God, the true God. He refused to listen to those things. And he continually drove himself to believe the truth about who God had called him to be, who he had made him. That's why he could accomplish for us what he accomplished. You know, and we all think of that record. I was reminded of it in when I wrote the letter too about, you know, this Palm Sunday, how that they came and they called him their king. They called him their king. They spread the palm branches in the path as he came by, saying, "Oh, you're our king. You come in the name of the Lord. Blessed be thou that comes in the name of the Lord." And why do they say that? They were quoting Psalms. They were familiar with the Psalm. They'd sung it many times. But that Psalm really refers to that which is future, when Israel as a nation will really truly say, "Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord." We may get into that next week. But I know that they came to the place where they had to look past what they were seeing with their senses. Because what did they see following? Not many days following that time when they received him as king, right? And were declaring him as their king. They saw him arrested. They saw him beat. They saw him crucified. They saw him draw his last breath. They saw him die. And so few of them there were, even his disciples, had a hard time getting past that reality that their senses were telling them. But regardless of what we accept or don't accept, God is still behind his word. God is behind his word. Every word that he has spoken, every promise that God has made, he will fulfill. It didn't take Israel believing that God would raise Jesus Christ from the dead. It only took God to fulfill his promise that 3 days and three nights later he raised his son, Jesus Christ, from the dead. And so the great part about our lives is it does not matter if we believe or we don't believe today, because what is in store for us eternally is up to God to fulfill. We have fulfilled the requirements. We've believed in our heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. We've confessed him as our Lord. We have fulfilled our requirements. Now it's up to God to bring the rest to pass. And he will. Oh yeah, he will. Because the greatest prophet of all history and will be the greatest king for all eternity. That is a reality. And that's what you and I share in. Even greater than that, because those promises were made for Israel. But you and I have so much more in store for us. So much more. Because you and I, as receivers, benefactors of the grace of God that has come in Christ, become available through Christ, makes us joint heirs with him. We will rule together with Christ. We won't be his subjects, although we will certainly worship him, and we will worship our Father for all they have accomplished for our redemption. And I'm not sure how it all will come out and shake down, but I do know that when it comes down to it, we have the benefits. We have eternity to look forward to such great things that, you know, eye has not seen nor ear heard, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. The things that we have to look forward to, no man of the senses can see or understand. And yet you and I have been given a glimpse of the reality of what is in store for us. If we will but look at it with the eyes behind our eyes. And listen to those words that these physical ears can't hear, but are coming straight from the mouth of God to each one of us day by day. So fear not. Only believe. Right? So, love you guys so much. And love God for how much he's done for us. So that's what was on my heart for everybody today. So I think we'll pray and have some manifestations, okay? So Father, thank you for your love and grace. Thank you for the way you continue to back up your word for each of us. Thank you, Father, that we have such great things in store for us because of what your wonderful Son, Jesus Christ, accomplished for us. Thanks, Father, that as we enter into this time of year where all of Christianity is thinking about and focusing on the resurrection of your Son, that we can have open doors to speak your truth and encourage more and more of the people that hunger and thirst to know the truth and know what it means to them. Father, thank you that we can be a part of reconciling men and women back to you. And thank you that you do it with great power. Thank you, Father, for these things and for all that you have blessed us with and all that we have to be thankful for. In that wonderful and powerful name of Jesus Christ. Someone speak in tongues and interpret or prophesy, please.
Truly I am Lord thy God, and I love you with a great burning love. And yea, your petitions that you give to me, I hear, and I do. There's nothing in the world that can touch you or harm you, for I truly am the one true God. All the other gods are liars, but I am the one true God. And yea, I have the power. And yea, I put that power in you to be strong, to be bold, and to know who you are as a son of God. So when the world comes at you and says things about you or tries to hurt you in any way, realize that you put them under your feet and you stamp them in the ground. For I am the Lord thy God, and I love you with all my heart. And I place that same heart in you to love people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my people, that as I have given you of my spirit, that you are powerful people. You have the ability to walk each and every day in that power. So walk with me. Walk with the knowledge of my word that I have given you. Walk with wisdom. Walk with my protection in your lives, knowing that my power, it is the same power that created everything. And I have that power that I've given to you to walk in this life. So know that there is nothing that I cannot do. There's nothing that blocks my path. There is nothing that will keep me from blessing you with all the blessings that I have given you. And indeed, all those blessings are the ones that are in Christ. Walk forth boldly then. Walk forth with great grace and mercy in your lives, knowing that I love you and I have given you all these things.
And know that you have believed and therefore you speak. Continue to proclaim my goodness, my grace, my mercy, my love.
Know, my beautiful children, that I'm always with you. I'm before your face. You're before my face. We are together forever. Nothing can separate us. Nothing at all. Nothing can separate you from the peace that comes from me. Know, my children, that I will always, always be with you, and there will be nothing to ever take you away from me.
Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for that love and that peace that passes understanding, and for your great heart for us, and for helping us and causing us to grow in grace more and more every single day, knowing that it's about you and it's not about us, and knowing that it's about what Christ did for us and that that's who we are. Thank you, Father, for a great day to love you, to rejoice in what you've accomplished for us, and to just really tap in more and more and more to you and your power and your love. And thank you for the days and weeks ahead. If the Lord tarries, that it's just going to be great coming and going, that we have promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come, and in that we do rejoice. Thank you, God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Wonderful. That's great.
So, Kevin, are you coming over here?
I probably won't make it this time, but one of these times.
Well,
I will. I will say this: it is neat to see her manifestations, and you guys alluded to it, and we see examples of it. Like Sangat Bain's, you know, manifesting such great power and healing, that as we continue in this word, that God does allow us to see segments, and we will never see it all, but segments of what Jesus Christ did, and to walk with a confidence and see God bless us in our moment-by-moment walks. I mean, I'm in my 70th year. I'm not 70 yet, you guys, but I'm in my 70th year, and it is a lot of joy in my life to just fellowship with God and ask him things and have him bring it to pass. And, you know, when the big things come up, just go to God, and he does it. I've always put my mind in that position. I remember when I first got to know Donnie and Patty, that was 39 years ago. And I was looking at the word them, trying to realize that what the word says was what I could do. And now I still have so much more. The more I know, the more I see that's in front of me still. But now I can walk with God, you know, and I can see those things in my own small way. I'm not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but I do have a fellowship with God that when I pray something, example, my wife, we had this big old barn shed, and we couldn't have chickens. I think I mentioned it. Somebody bought it, and then I got to meet the guy that came over and got it, and we had such a great fellowship together, and he rolled that thing out into the street and took it away, and now our yard's open to do something else. And just little things like that, that God is so interested in those, and he's consistently, over the years, shown me that those little yearnings of my heart, he's right there with me. And there was time, not too many years ago, when I didn't even think I had fellowship with God. I knew all this word, I knew all this stuff, and I didn't have fellowship with God. And now it's coming together better. So it's encouraging to me, and I hope it encourages you, that the things you've set your heart on for years and years and years and continue to do what Donnie and Patty have said to us, that God will bring you to a place, just like Manifestation said, we've got power. We are life changers in this day and time in our own little ways. And it's a joy and it's a privilege. And thank you for letting me be a part of this. This is cool to be able to be on here and see all your faces. And I mean, I live in Kentucky, for goodness sakes. Well, I sure do love you guys. Thank you.
You too, Kevin. Thank you, man.
I was talking to Bruce and I said, you got to stop trying to be perfect and just start, just believe. You know, we get to the age of where we condemn ourselves for not doing what we think God wants us to do, when we should just walk, you know, Patty, you know, and not feel like we're powerless and not feel like we can't do anything. Patty said something, and I don't know if she said something on the phone with me 3 months ago that just changed my life, and says that organizations or groups of people are not going to change the world. What's going to really change the world is you and your own little sphere of influence because of what you do in your life. You change yourself, and the people around you that love God and that want to know God will change. And that's really what changes situations. You know, even Jesus Christ, man, you know, like you think that, you know, the only person that believed that God would raise him from the dead and really believed it was Jesus Christ. It was one man that believed that, you know. You look in the Old Testament, Isaiah and Elijah and all these other people that were in the Old Testament. And a lot of them stood by themselves, but they changed the spiritual influence of the world by just their believing. And here's 12 people on this podcast today. And the power that's in each one of you. You know, when I don't read the news on the weekends, and I don't read the news at night when I come home, but I do read the news when I come into work and I see it. But I've learned to go ahead when I look at the news, go ahead and not look at the news and go, oh God, that's so bad and that's so negative. And that's, I look at it and go ahead and I pray for the situation that is ungodly, you know, and for God to go ahead and intercede, because my prayers mean something. You know, when I start my day, you know, I don't do it on the weekends because I'm lazy and I fall asleep when I try to. But, you know, on the weekdays when I got to get up, I get up an hour and a half ahead of time because I want to pray for everything that I need to go ahead and pray for on my way down, to go ahead and make sure that I have my head right when I get up going to work, you know. You know, and if my mind is wandering and it's going, God is greater than my heart. You know, there's certain verses of scripture that I always run through my head in the morning when my head ain't right, to get it right so I can go ahead and do what I need to do. So, you know, I just don't cut yourself short. You know, don't look at something in a situation and go, oh God, you know, the world is going to end tomorrow. Well, the world is not going to end tomorrow. And if it does, you're not going to be here. So, so anyway, I just, you know, I don't know why I'm so sharing so much today. I just, you know, Bruce got me worked up yesterday, and I just, you know, and I, you know, and by the time, and, you know, and I just wanted to share some of those things that God just, you know, has really done for me and done on my behalf for the last couple of weeks. So I'm done sharing.
Tim, no problem. Hey, when you're inspired, brother. It's all right. It's great to know.
Enjoy.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Hey, Don, in light of, the manifestations in Philippians 4:7, I've got a beautiful translation. It says, "And the peace of God, that peace which reassures the heart, that peace which transcends all understanding, that peace which stands guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus is yours." And I thought that was beautiful in light of the translations, in light of the manifestations.
Wonderful. Great. Yeah. Yeah, we can certainly be peaceful in life. So it's a nice thing, not just when we're older. But hey, at all times, anybody, young, old, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. We all have what we have in Christ, and it's all by grace. So the quicker we accept that reality, the more peaceful we become. So love you all very much.
Love you.
Love you too.
All right. If there's nothing else, then I guess we'll close it out. Wait. Hold on. What? Yes. Oh.
I guess we're doing hi and bye.
Yeah. Yeah. If there's nothing else, then we'll wrap it up. Okay. It's not bad. It's only 12:30. Gee whiz. We could stick around.